Well, maybe he went to get a sideways haircut. Maybe he went to get a striped shirt. Maybe he went to get some plastic shoes. Maybe he went to get some funny stuff.
Low Standards and Pours, episode 22. Welcome, everybody. We have a great show for you tonight. It is Wednesday, August 5th, about 7 minutes after 9 in Detroit Rock City. How's everybody doing? Hopefully everybody's doing okay. It is a beautiful day, and I am enjoying it. So I believe our host is here.
Where the hell is Joel Carpe?
Yep, there he is. Where the hell is our El Carpe?
Am I getting an echo?
Carpe?
Yeah, I'm getting an echo.
You're getting an echo? Oh, hold on a second. I'll echo you out.
Again, with the hold on a second. Yeah.
Is that better?
We'll be in a minute.
Sounds lightly familiar.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, I also, out of courtesy, I did the bug spray thing prior to the show starting.
You did the what?
Did the bug spray thing prior to the show starting so that
you hear the psh. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, that means kind of entertaining between the bug spray and the crickets.
Well, and I sprayed to kill the crickets earlier today.
Oh, it worked so good. Spray?
It was cricket spray. Yeah, I bought specifically cricket spray. I said to the guy, I need cricket spray.
Yeah, can you give me a half gallon of cricket spray?
Well, you know, sometimes you need a half gallon of cricket spray, you silly goof. So what's going on, brother? What's the haps?
Nothing. It's a busy day. I had to catch up a little bit and put some people on hold, and that's about it. We are here tonight.
Yeah, but you're busy, and that's good, right?
Paying the bills. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you know, being busy is a good thing.
It certainly is. Certainly is.
One of the guys at work, well, before we get going, I mean, we're going to have some serious fun tonight. It's going to be, well, poorly researched, highly opinionated, and we're going to be, it's going to be, I'm ready to be fun.
What's your topics for this evening, Bill?
I got my talking teeth in.
All right.
We'll get to the topics in a second. I don't really give a crap yet. It's my show.
No reason to rush it.
Yeah, don't rush it, man. We're having fun. So, number one, I got to preface this with this because, you know, there's all of, you know, me and you here. And anybody who decides to anybody who decides to listen later, well, you know, I guess.
I think I hear those crickets again.
Yeah, you probably do because they just won't show up. The cricket spray did not work. Dude, we all have serious lives. You know, I don't want to be completely serious here. I want the goofy to come out and play tonight. I want the silly to be out there running with scissors.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta just lay it out. You know, we're going to talk about some serious stuff, but I want us to have fun.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, we've been working all summer or not working all summer. We've been going crazy with their lives or not going crazy with their lives. Everybody is going through some shit and nobody needs to get mad about anything. We just got to figure out how to get through and get along. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that general enough? Is that general enough to say nice things?
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
I think people appreciate that. All of our one listener now, I think we know him.
I've heard of that guy before. Hey, Willie, how you doing?
What else do you got? Mr. Hostess with Demos.
Well, this is actually kind of funny. One of the guys at work said this, something like this. A big shout out to my boy Dave, not Willie Dave, but a different Dave that I work with, who's one of my branches that I take care of. And he's like, dude, we've been working a summer rush ever since February. And now we've got all these additional complications, unprecedented circumstances that happened in mid-March, and it's been nonstop for the last 5.5 months.
Yeah, it's crazy.
what's weird is so many people have been not nonstop, and I feel for them. I just, you know,
it's two separate sides of the spectrum.
Yeah. It's either you're barely working at all, or, yeah, you know, things, you know, or, you know, taking the unemployment, which, you know, I really want to see. I honestly don't give a crap if we run deficits for the rest of my life and my kids' lives. I don't want to see people suffering the way they are. And the problem is we can't be open. There's a lot of people that are working more than they, well, just, I don't know. My brain's going in seven different directions because, you know, there's such a dichotomy here. There's so much difference between working and not working. And it's nobody's fault. You know, it's just the nature of disease. It just, and this one just so happens to have, don't get me started.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean,
that's the thing is I can barely think straight. I had somebody, one of my other branches, call me today and ask me a very specific question on why I'm asking for this very specific detail on this loan.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I honestly don't have time to give you Bible and verse from the guidelines to tell you why I'm telling you. You need to do it this way, or we're going to add 2 weeks to your loan.
Right.
Processing and stuff, because you're going to have to get more information from them, and I'm going to have to do this and that. You can't do it this way. And she's like, well, I got to tell these people because they're, you know, highfalutin, important, whatevers. And I'm like, look, you know, they may be highfalutin, important, whatevers, but they're not underwriters.
Right.
They don't know the rules, and they don't know what's going to happen. Cause if you change it to what they think they want to do, you're doing them a disservice, because now they're not going to get their nice little house for 2 extra weeks. And then the sellers are going to be pissed, and it's just going to be this whole nightmare. Do what I tell you.
Right.
And I'm so not
that way. Listen to your underwriter.
Well, but the thing is I'm not like that. I'm, you know, I'm go along to get along. You know, hey, all right, well, the people want to do that, this is great, whatever. But today I was just like, I snapped. I'm like, I got 17 billion things to do, and everybody wants it yesterday, and you're calling me seven times with the same question that I've already answered and told you, do it the way I told you.
Right. Don't question what I say.
And
I mean, you can, but
yeah, I don't have a problem being questioned. Maybe
not. Yeah.
But when I give an answer and it's not the answer that you want,
right,
I have a problem with you going back to me or to someone else trying to fish for the right answer, the answer that you want. Because the answer I gave you was the correct one.
The answer with the easier answer.
The one that makes it so you don't have to embarrass yourself in front of your client and say, well, you know, something changed. You know, you, Mr. Client, decided to change this scenario just enough that it makes things different for the guidelines, and now we need to do this.
Sounds like a self-employment question.
I'm going to say yes, even though it wasn't, but it's okay. a similar complicated title issue. But yeah, it's no big deal, you know. And again, I'm not divulging any secrets of anything. These are just general topics,
right? But of course not.
It's just ridiculous, you know. And this actually ties into what I wanted to talk about, was knowing what the rules are. If you know what the rules are, you can act accordingly. And the topic I wanted to bring up was, you know, the monkey in chief deciding that he thinks he might have the authority to delay the election.
Yeah.
And I'm like, number one, no, you don't. Simple answer, no, you don't. But the fun part of the topic is, why do you think he thinks he can?
Yeah, he must be trying to use COVID as his, I don't know.
But think about it. Under what circumstances?
It's Trump. Trump can do anything. Trump is Trump.
Yeah, I'll Trump his Trump.
Right.
I have the right power.
But can Trump, well, how'd it go again? Never mind. It's Trump. He probably thinks he can do anything as long as he's the president.
Well, but he thinks he can, but he doesn't understand that he's not a dictator.
Yeah.
He doesn't get what he does. He doesn't understand his job.
He just wants to do it Trump's way.
Right. And, you know, that might have been fine and good when you're, you know, claiming bankruptcy on your third business. You know, and that's fine if that's the way you want to run your business into the ground. That's fine. You can do it your way, and if that's the way you think is the right way, run as many businesses into the ground and cheat as many people out of money when you
pretend that you –
pretend that you have some kind of money-making university.
There is some clause, I believe, as a billionaire, you can claim bankruptcy as many times as you want.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Clause. It's the idiot clause.
Yeah. I've read that somewhere before. I could be wrong, but...
I don't give a crap. And it's not... Honestly, it's not that it's his personal bankruptcy. It's his business is going bankrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
And if, you know, he just calls it a different business, and then he can run that one into the ground, and it doesn't matter.
But right.
I'm curious, why, aside from it's just him, why do you think he thinks he can do this?
He's a narcissist.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, it's probably the way he grew up. His father was in the construction business, development business, and, you know, they probably, it was probably contracting type. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, when you're in power and you're constantly, you know, yeah, making money and hanging around the big
one. All that. The challenge I have is, you know, we had an election during the Civil War. We had an election during the pandemic in 1917 and 18. So why does he think that this is different? It's because he knows he's going to get himself trounced and or he's going to lose.
Yeah.
Or he thinks it's possible. You know, and I'm not trying to predict anything. I would love to see him lose, and nothing would make me happier than if Biden were to in his acceptance speech say, "Mr. Trump, the American people have spoken. You're fired." Just to throw it in his face, because the smugness bothers me. He's become a bully in my mind, and you know how I can't tolerate bullies.
No, I know, and I've been talking about this with some other people, and I don't know. People don't think he's Biden's such a shoo-in. Biden might have a problem knocking him off his pedestal.
I think that's very possible. I think that is definitely true.
But what does that say about the American voter? You know,
well, what does it say about the monkeys that we're throwing up in front of us?
No, I agree.
The choice of the hard crusty turd or the hot smelly turd.
Right. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared to talk about it. No, I don't know. I'm not even sure what to say. Like usual.
I'm not prepared for that. What?
I'm not.
And like I said, we're going to be poorly researched, and I'm fine with that. But I had to get that out because I know the country has had crises before, and we've had elections right through those crises.
Yeah.
You know, the Civil War was kind of a big crisis, a little bit.
One of the bigger ones.
Yeah. And we've had a pandemic before and had an election. So what makes this pandemic different?
Right.
That he thinks the problem is he's not capable of grasping the idea of things not going the way he wants them to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, you might be right, Willie. Willie says he said it to bait people, and he might be right. That could very well be true. You know, he's very good at selling himself and his name.
Yeah.
That is unquestionable. He knows how to sell his brand, and his brand is him. And you know, I fell for it in 2016 thinking, you know, well, let's do something different because God dang it. It was hold your nose and flick the switch and pick one of the two turds. It was the same two turds. Dry, crusty, or hot and smelly.
This is, you know, I ask myself this. I ask other people this. I'm like, you know, if we didn't get so much of our media from the TV and we read more of it, it seems like, you know, I don't know. I can't say like I want to say certain things, but you know, being on recorded radio, you know. I don't want to say the wrong thing, right thing.
Why can't you say it?
Well,
again, this is a conversation between you and me that we just sort of happen to share with the rest of the planet.
It's like
the rest of the planet doesn't have to buy into it or not. I don't care. It's you and me.
It's I asked my mom. I'm like, I get it. Not if you go back to all of our presidents we've had, there's been some, right. I'm sure, presence with some issues. We'll just say it that way.
There's but some big turn.
If Trump has been in office and everybody's got a job, everybody's making money, the economy's going the right direction, why do we have to focus so much on what he says? I get it. We don't want somebody that's, you know, says some of the things that he does. I'll just put it that way. But, you know, I'm just surprised that nobody has told him to put a lid on it. You know, somebody in his cabinet, somebody in the White House saying, listen, you can say these things, but just don't say them this way. But like my mom, she wants him dead. I mean, like, you know, kill that, you know, whatever. But,
I'm not that far.
No,
I'm just saying that
if you got somebody in there where the economy is going the way it's been going, not lately, but in the beginning, I don't know. See, I'm not really sure how to deal with it. Like, maybe I'm trying to be too politically correct.
No, the question is, are you voting your pocketbook selfishly, or are you going to vote for what is best for the most amount of people?
You know, Bill, I've got this thought that if he stays in office, he can reproduce what he's already done as far as the economy in the first 4 years. But maybe so, not. I don't know if Biden's the.
I'm not so sure.
I don't follow it. These aren't good topics for me. I don't follow it.
And that's okay.
Much,
I'm going to throw out a couple of things, and we don't. Or have get to
you know
on them,
if you want to, yeah, if I you want to be Willie on board, I'm sure he's got some. Some things to say. Some of the things I might say might get me in trouble. You know.
No, but see, the thing is, and it's all what level of information are we carrying in our skulls about all these things? And I don't have a whole lot of it, but I do know that you know he trashed the EPA.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm of two minds of this because I understand getting rid of government waste. Okay.
Yeah,
I get that. I totally get that. But there's other places to do it because, well, we have this thing called global warming, global climate change that we're not doing shit about.
Right.
I'm not. And again, I'm on the fence on that one. I understand kind of both sides of the argument. But the more I read and understand, the more I realize that it doesn't matter what you think you know. More information is coming out. Repeatedly, and the people who are on the side of global warming as a hoax are putting their head in the sand. And I don't want to say they're religiotards, you know, these,
sure.
you know, people who just, you know, there's a certain mindset of the people who totally won't buy into it at all. And I've always been, for a while, I was like, this doesn't make sense. You know, the graphs that they're talking about showing that, you know, the global warming, the CO2 levels and all that stuff, it doesn't make sense. But the more I looked into the science, the more I thought, well, okay, some of these guys are actually taking into account a lot of the other factors, not just the fact that there's more CO2 in the air.
Sure.
You know, how has the sun been producing the last 11 years? Well, we've had a recession in the amount of global warming issues. A little bit, you know, how they say that curve has flattened since like 2000 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're claiming. Well, yeah, but that was also during the beginning of the 11-year cycle with the sun, where less sunspots, less radiation, less heat. And it's not tremendous. It's just significant enough of a change to make a difference. You know, and so
what about like the Great Coral Reef, though? I mean, that pretty much wiped out. You know,
yeah, there's a lot of problems. The reef, the Great Coral Reef, isn't gone. It's in trouble.
Yeah, they call it. What do they call it? And they there's a particular name for it when it loses its color. It basically,
it's like scorching.
Scorching.
It goes white or
whatever. Yeah.
And that's because things are different. You know, I mean, how much are we throwing into the ocean? Garbage, you know. Are we actually? But back to him, the fact that he dismantled basically the EPA, which could have been a bloated bureaucracy for all I know.
Right.
You don't just get rid of it. You know, you go. You there's, you do a focus group shit or whatever the hell it is, and you figure out, well, what are these guys really doing and how can we streamline it better? You know, who do we need to give the authority to make some decisions that actually help people? And, you know, I don't give a crap. At a certain point, government's going to cost money because the rest of us want to go out and do stuff that's not government. So in order to have government do stuff, it's going to cost us.
Right.
And, you know, I've never been one for big on, you know, higher taxes and all that stuff. But if it makes – I did this in our city. We had a city council thing because they were talking about – this is 10, 15 years ago. They were going to raise the millage for fire and police. And I'm like, that's fine. Because it was we were supposed to get a couple of new cop cars and a couple of new fire trucks. And we've got some great city services here.
Right.
And I have friends who are cops. I have friends who are firefighters. And I'm like, I want to support them. And I go on, I sit and I listen. And I'm like, I'm kind of on the fence, but I want to support my friends. But I'm listening to the city council people talking. And a bunch of these other people going up against the city council raising the millage, you know, our taxes are too high as it is, and people just, you know, not making any sense. And I go up there and talk to the city council. I says, look, I'm not a big tax me kind of guy. I'm working hard to make my ends meet and do the things that I need to do for my family. But these are essential city services. And if you can guarantee me, you can look me in the eye right now and say, yeah, the money that we raise from this millage is going to go and take care of these things, and you make sure that that happens, then I'm for it.
Right.
But I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that we're going to do this. And I looked each one of them in the eye. I says, you? And I pointed. And I was a dick about it.
Good for you.
But I wanted to see their face. And I says, thank you. I'm going to hold you accountable. And, you know, let's just do this.
Right.
You know, there are certain things that have to be done. And, you know, I realize we're spaghetti noodling all over our topics tonight. And I don't really care because it's just you and I talking. But it is one of those things.
Yeah, the increase in taxes never seems to stop, eh?
Well, it's like, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, right?
Yeah.
It's the old, you know, and at some point you got to say, all right, well, we're back to the milk, and I'm going to pour the milk on your head, you little shit, because I want this to end. But at some point, you do got to have the checks and balances and say, well, you know, let's step back and go, well, what are we really accomplishing with this, this, and this?
Sure.
Well, we can only – let's do two of those things correctly, and then we don't need to do the third thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be get rid of the most expensive thing. It's let's get rid of the thing that's not helping the most people. Right?
I agree.
And I'm not saying that to leave out, you know, people who have, you know, the 17 people who have the one off the wall weird disease with the, you know, left butt cheek muscle disorder. I'm not saying screw those people. What I'm saying is, you know, there's a way that we can help those people. If we can take care of the most people the most of the time, then we get rid of the stupid fat dumb shit we're spending money on, and we can say, all right, well, we got some money, we can help these people that need that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a crazy monkey that doesn't know what I'm doing.
No, you're right. I'm inviting Willie on because I cannot partake in these.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not saying that he closed the EPA, Willie. I'm saying he slimmed the fat out of it or did something. They're doing stupid shit, you know. And honestly, the fact that he's got DeVos in charge of education is just frightening.
That's crazy.
That's frightening.
I do know that.
he should get voted out just for that, just to make sure she goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's crazy.
There's some other, you know, and honestly, I want Trump to live through the rest of his term.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I want is his vice president to become president.
Yeah,
that guy is a nutcase.
Is he? I haven't heard a peep out of him, hardly.
Exactly. The less he talks, the smarter he looks.
Right, right.
If only Trump could learn from that. But no, this guy is one of those, the Bible's 100%
That's a good point.
the Bible's 100% true. Everything says he's one of those. And right. He's in power. He's the vice president of the country, and he thinks that Noah's flood happened.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, I take issue with that. I believe all the other stuff, but Jesus.
On what?
I know. Who gave me the reins?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of lost here. I'm not. I'm just kind of. I don't know.
So, Eric, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
God, what wouldn't I do? Let's see. What would I do for a Klondike bar? I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a Klondike bar in a long time. They are a pretty tasty ice cream bar.
You know what I'd do for a Klondike bar?
I'd give you $5 for a Klondike bar.
If it helps, they have Reese's Peanut Butter Klondike bars now.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. Yikes. You know what I'd do for a Klondike bar? I'd give it to you.
Would you?
I'd give you my Klondike bar.
Oh, I'd pay you $5 for it. How about that?
I would give it to you because you're my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that, Bill.
Because I'm such a weasel.
You're such a nice boy.
Yeah, whatever. I'll get something out of you eventually.
Yeah, can we go back to last week's topic really quick? Willie, I gotta hear your take on Eraserhead.
We beat that thing to death three times last week.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yes, I told you I was bitter. First, it took me an hour to find/download for free on some obscure website. I'm sure the feds will be over any minute.
Right, because they're so concerned about that movie.
Right, and then I lightly chewed your head off for making me watch that, and then we didn't even talk about it.
Right. I just wanted to see if you had anything else to say. That's all. It is a bizarre movie, though.
I vaguely remember seeing it, and I won't do it again.
Then you didn't see it. You probably watched the trailer or something like that, because it gets burned into your brain when you watch it the first time.
Well, I think he said it had been like 25 years or something, so.
Yeah, it was 25 years. There's a lot of brain cells that I've destroyed since.
Yeah. Maybe those memories went with it.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
Leave it there, Bill. Leave it there.
Yeah. Put it down.
So what would you do for a Klondike bar, Bill?
I told you. I'd give it to you.
That's it? Would you do anything else? All right.
I don't even like – I'm not a big guy on sweets.
No. I grew up with sweets. Sweets were all over my house, everywhere. We had bagels on Sunday. We had coffee cake all the time. Ice cream, pop. It was all my dad. My dad had to have all that shit. God.
My dad used to go to the local bakery on Sundays and get something really nice. A coffee cake or something.
Yeah, my dad went to the Jewish bakeries over there in like Oak Park and Bloomfield Hill and West Bloomfield. You know, a couple of ones.
Everybody's got a good bakery near them, and you should go find that little local bakery.
Yeah.
And give them your money instead of going to Meijer and buying. You know,
that's what I say. Not or the mom pop shops.
Yeah. You know? Take care of your little guys, but I mean, we never really got into a lot of sweet stuff at the house. But man, my dad could go through a bag of chips in a day.
Really?
In a one hour show between the two of us, we could kill off a bag of chips. And that was before settling was a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, they actually used to fill up the bags of chips back in the old days.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
And smother them with greasy whatever. Oh, you know, we could just do that. But Willie, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
They're just okay, so probably really nothing.
Okay. I'm with it, and that was my thought too. That's why I'm like, yeah, I'd give it
now, if you talked about a double scoop of peanut butter and chocolate from Baskin Robbins side, I'd probably kneecap you.
Okay.
I'd probably kneecap, but one scoop each, I'd probably kneecap both of you.
No, was that your favorite sweet, so to speak? Ice cream, peanut butter. Is it peanut butter ice cream, you said?
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh, yes.
The Baskin Robbins was...
Whoever did that, whoever needs that needs a full congressional medal.
Yeah. There's 31 flavors of oh my yummy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just straight up like black, chocolate and vanilla.
I like chocolate. There's really no chocolate that I've ever disagreed with. But
yeah, no, I agree.
Right,
I'm a chocolate fanatic.
Haven't met a chocolate I haven't liked.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I don't. I'm not big into sweets or whatever. But once in a while, you get that hankering, and it's give me some French vanilla or French bean vanilla.
Yeah.
Ice cream.
And the chocolate topping, maybe.
I'll just grab like 4 or 5 Oreos and smash them up in a baggie, and then shove them in, stir them up in there, and kind of make my own little vanilla Oreo paste. It's delicious.
Sounds awfully tasty.
Yeah, when we go on vacation. My wife will say, just try to lay off the ice cream. And I'm like, there's day drinking when, you know, we go and it's like, well, I'll try. I don't know how hard I'm going to try, but I'll try.
Right. Because at a certain point, you know, your choices are, well, I'm going to do this, and or, you know, my conscience would say, don't do this, but he's drunk in the corner, so I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
I like the idea of day drinking. I miss that.
Day drinking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. That's a tough one.
No, it's a good one.
It's on vacation, it's a good way to go.
Yeah, I burn out too fast. Yeah, I start strong and I end real hard. I crash out.
Yeah, that way you're not up till 3 o'clock. That way you're not up till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, I know what you're saying. I usually like to start drinking about 8 o'clock, 7, 8 o'clock, and then usually by about 11 or 12, I'm toast. Time to go to bed. Time to hit it. Bill.
I like the marathon drinking. What?
What kind of toys did you play with when you were a kid that didn't involve screen? Yeah, I don't know. I was just reading it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You can wait. You know, what do you got? $6 million man?
No, I was going to go with Lincoln Logs.
Lincoln Logs?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Lincoln Logs are cool.
I never had them, I don't think.
Those were my staple.
Yeah, Matchbox car is my favorite.
What?
By far.
Legos before they
got were those the ones that you pulled back? You could pull them back and then you let them go and they would take off.
Nope. They're just metal. Just metal and they just rolled back.
Those are really cool. We used to do them in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Obviously with no water.
We used to have this tree in the front yard. And had like all the roots that used to come out. I used to think the roots were like streets, and I'd like play around the tree, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, we had
that was my big thing.
At the top of the stairs, we had a banister, and in between the banister poles, I would park the cars, little Matchbox cars. It was perfect fit, and it was on carpet, and there was a little bit of extra, so that I had the little road that went along what I would call in my head a lake, you know. And, you know, everybody's driving along the lake and I'd have 30 cars and I'd push, you know, every one of them 6 inches and move, you know, one after the other, a little traffic jam or whatever. And it would entertain me for hours. My mother was amazed. She's like, you can play with those cars for hours. Yeah. Because, you know, my imagination's going. And now, you know, I still kick myself sometimes because I'll spend an hour on a screen playing a stupid game.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, there's no imagination. This is my brain melting right in front of my face. But yet, when I was a kid, my brain would do all sorts of stuff. I don't get it.
It seems like the video games these days takes your imagination away from it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, it's kind of sad. Like, I'm the same way you were, Don. Like, I can spend hours playing around cars, thinking I was like, whatever. No.
And I think that's why I can't remember what they're called. It's like RPS games or something like that. Not the first person shooter games where, you know, you see the front of your gun, but I like the ones where it's you see this, the whole town from like up in the helicopter. Imagine you're up in a helicopter looking down at the town and you can move your guys around and you
like a bird's eye view kind of thing.
Yeah, very bird's eye view type thing. And you build an army, you build a town, and you take over the next town. Games like that, I really like. I find those addicting because, again, it's back to moving matchbox cars. It's paying attention to the details. And then my brain goes, oh, well, I need to do this, and I need to, you know, and I'm thinking seven steps ahead so that I can make sure my army's big enough when that guy attacks me, I can defend myself or whatever. You know,
there was a... When video games were starting to get pretty popular way back in the day, my friends had it was a CD, and you'd put the CD in, and you were on a planet, and you had to go around, and it was a bunch of like clues and riddles and stuff you had to figure out, and you had to figure out how to get to the rocket to get off the planet, yeah, to get to another place or something. It was really, and there was like four, there was two roommates. It was four people total, but two of them were roommates. Took them like pretty much the entire week to figure out how to win this game, how to get off the planet and get to the other safe planet or something like that. But I don't know. It was kind of like a, I don't know, whatever you would call it. I have no idea. I don't know what the fuck I'm even talking about. Anyways.
I'm not sure what I know what you're talking about, but I know that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you have to figure out the clues and, you know, I don't know. Whatever you call those games, I don't know what you call them.
That's like too much for me. I like the ones where it's like I can just, you know, like Age of Empires, those kind of games.
Yeah, I haven't played any. Last game I played, I think, was Defender. And that was, yeah. That one, Hypersonic and Defender.
Yeah.
Hyperspeed, Hypersonic. Or whatever it was.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was probably the last one I played.
Robotron.
Yeah. What were you guys back in the day? What was your favorite video game? Caterpillar?
Oh, that wasn't bad.
Galaga?
It's all right.
Oh, you mean Centipede?
Yeah, Centipede.
I like Tekken.
No, Caterpillar, whatever. What?
Tekken, that fighting game, Tekken. You talking about stand-up games? Or
I don't. It could be anything.
Well, they had Tekken on the stand-up game at and it was a fighting game. It was like
it was a boxing game or something, right?
No, it was like karate type stuff. It was sort of like you know, just go one-on-one against somebody.
And yeah, what was the boxing game? You know, Piston Hurricane and something Joe.
Oh yeah, it was like Rock'em Sock'em Robot on
a yeah, movie. Remember? It was Piston something Hurricane, like that, yeah. Something Joe. Shit. I'm going to have to look that
I don't
one
remember
up.
The names, but I vaguely remember that game.
That was one of my favorites.
That was a good game.
Like, his eyes would light up, and then once his eyes lit up, you knew to like give him a body punch, a body shot or something. Like, body shot, uppercut, uppercut. Remember that?
Body blow.
Yeah, body blow.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember playing it. I remember watching it.
Oh, Punch Out.
Oh, all right.
It was called Punch Out.
I was very frugal at the arcade. I only played a couple of games that I was good with. You know, that you could get the most out of your quarter, like Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah. Who wants to play for 5 minutes?
Right. And, you know, back then a quarter was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Back then. In the old days, when I was an old
farmer. Been a while.
Yeah.
I liked Galaga was good. I think that was one of my favorites. Centipede was all right. I liked playing it. I wasn't very good at it.
Right.
Defender, I liked playing Defender, but I wasn't very good at it.
No, neither was I.
Pac-Man, I was pretty good.
Willie, do you remember Robotron with the two joysticks? And you'd run around in the middle of a square, and you have to shoot all the other robots.
I do not remember that.
I
do not remember that. I probably didn't play it because I had two joysticks, and that is way beyond my functionality.
Well, it's two joysticks. The first one was to move your guy around, and the second one was what direction he's shooting. And he was always shooting.
Not coordinated enough. I would have avoided that at all costs.
It's like Asteroids, but completely different.
No, Asteroids.
Yeah. Asteroids was badass when it came out, though.
Oh, I know. And that,
that was like the first thing.
Yeah, it was tip top.
Well, you know, and I remember, I think I was probably 7 or 8 when Atari came out with like the first home game system.
Yeah.
Pong.
And I got that, and I played that son of a bitch forever. I think I still have it up in my attic.
Did you get any good at it?
Probably. I was a kid.
I was just saying, if you played that many hours, I'd be probably a master. The master of Pong.
Well, I was never any good at that.
I didn't have the attention span for too many games.
And then we got a Wii, and then my daughter would like, she's like, let's play. She'd get the good controller, and I'd get the crappy one. And then she'd get mad because she was like 8, and I couldn't keep up with her. And she's like, let me find somebody else around the house. Who's coming over today? Is aunt or uncle or a cousin coming over? Somebody,
right.
Somebody better than you?
Let somebody else deal with this. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I'm looking at it. It's dark outside. I can't even see my notes anymore. I don't care. I had a bunch of things written down, but Lincoln Logs and Matchbox cars and...
How about G.I. Joe or Army Men Evil Knievel? Evil Knievel, where you'd rev him up on the motorcycle and let him loose?
You pulled a stick through his wheels?
Right? I think there was one like that. We had one on there was a side crank, and you just hold them in place, and then you cranked it up.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, no, I had the one where you put the, like the sinks, you know, how you got that thing that you shove down the sink to pull up all the hairs.
I've seen that, yeah.
It's like the little track thing with the little handle.
The plunger?
It's like a zip line with gears on it.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
A gear thing in the wheel, and you push it through, and then you get it all the way in. It's, you know, maybe about a 2-foot-long thing, and then you pull it back, and it runs the engine.
And you cut the side of your finger. I remember I used to do that a couple times.
Yeah, exactly.
You pull so hard, you rip the right along the side of your finger, and you're like.
Right, because, you know, that's when toys were fine if you were bleeding a little bit.
You know, I can't believe they outlawed lawn jarts. I still can't believe that.
Well, you know, you can get them now, but they have dull ends. They're flat ended. They're not pointy anymore, so they land and kind of.
They weren't even that pointed before. I mean, you'd have to really whip something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You could throw a knife at somebody and make it stick. Why they don't outlaw knives? You know,
right. Not yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Willie, you took a regular dart in the foot from me one time.
Well, those are freaking sharp.
Yeah.
Bill, did you sharpen yours?
Did you get an extra pointy? $75 pair of, you know, titanium darts.
We're talking about darts for competitive dart throwing.
Yeah, dartboard darts.
Yeah, dartboard darts.
I got you. Yeah. Not jarts.
That was a long, drunken evening, though, Willie. That was Mulligan's.
I know it happened. I don't remember it happening.
It was on any given Sunday.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I had a Shogun. Did you guys ever have a Shogun Warrior? I got one when I was real little, and I was like, I was just enamored with it.
Nope.
Shogun Warrior. What is that? It sounds familiar.
I don't know. It was like 2 or 3 feet tall, and it did stuff, and it was on wheels. And
did your parents ever buy you guys anything that didn't make any sense to you? Like, why they bought me this? Why they bought you this? Like, something so far out of the ordinary? Like, did I get the wrong present or something? You guys ever get anything like that?
Not that I can recall. It's probably clothes, and you're like, what the hell?
No, I got a Dremel tool at, like, 7.
Oh, yeah.
What am I going to do with a Dremel tool at 7? So I started, I put one of the bits on it and started burning up my mom's Good Housekeeping magazines. Rip it up, you know.
Oh, yeah, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
oh, that was the other thing.
Practicing the drill bit.
Burning stuff up.
That got taken away.
My brother and I used to build model airplanes and model tanks. And we actually did built a model aircraft carrier. And we would put them on this cooking baking sheet in the basement and light them on fire.
What?
And just burn the model. You know, and it was so cool to see the black smoke rising through the tank. And
so your parents spent money on this and you burn it right down in the basement of their house?
No, we bought the models.
Oh, you know, okay.
You know, I was 10 years old. I had an income. You know, I was working the corners.
Yeah, stealing models.
But I don't know how. I probably subbing paper outs or something like that. But yeah. And at a certain point, Dad says, "All right, you can't do this in the house anymore." And then we started doing it outside. We just, you know, burned the models. We'd spend 2 weeks building them and putting all those pieces together and go, oh, this is going to be cool. And then we purposely put little venting spaces so that the black smoke would rise through this part of the tank the right way. Yeah, if that's for me, I'm not taking any calls.
Yeah, it's never mind.
All right. Hey, if that's work, yeah, we gotta go.
We used to do that. Yeah, I used to build models, not a whole lot of them, or rockets. Did you guys ever have rockets?
Oh yeah, we used to take them up to the field and shoot them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, my neighbor did, but he could never get the thing to go straight.
Yeah, those were fun for a hot minute.
Yeah, that was about it too.
Well, you know, in the same field, we'd take and go shoot bow and arrows.
Yeah, I did a lot more outside. I mean, you get like the cap gun with the little, you know, you'd feed the little red thing in there.
Yeah, the red strip with a little bit of gunpowder in it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those things. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I'd put my little jacket on that didn't zip up, and I'd hang my holster on the side, and I was Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica, you know, run around.
Cowboy Willie.
You know. Yeah, yes.
Now, did you guys play anything like jail or anything, or you know, where you have like teams, you go hide, and then if you're found, you gotta go to jail, and you can get tag the guy out, or tag the guy, whatever, in jail, get him out, or whatever.
Absolutely, we used to have massive games and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that was always fun. And that's the thing is, here we've got all this time with everybody being home the entire summer. And nobody else is running around doing anything. You know, of course, my kids are a little older. But, you know, it'd be nice to see them run around and play outside.
Yeah.
It'd also be nice to be home to see it happen. But, you know, it's just like there's so much of this, you know, we're glued to screens these days. You know?
Yeah. I probably my entire youth outside, you know, playing pickle. 500 baseball,
yep.
Football, what football. We would used to call, it's not very politically correct now, but we used to call it smear the queer.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And these massive, massive games. We just go over to the grade school a couple streets over and just have at it.
We used to do the thing. We used to play tennis.
My dad would whistle for us to come home. Yeah.
Yeah. When the street lights come on, you're supposed to be home.
Yeah.
It's like get the hell out of the house and go all day. And when the street lights come on, get home. But we used to play one of my friends growing up when I was real little, you know, maybe 10, 11 years old. He lived on a cul-de-sac, right? And his house was basically a dead end. And so we used to set up at one side of the dead end, and that was home plate. And we'd get out tennis rackets and tennis balls and play tennis baseball.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to have a hard baseball because you could always break the window. But with a tennis ball, you got less chance of breaking the window.
Yeah, might just crack it.
Yeah, we played tape ball. You roll up a ball of tape.
Yeah. Yeah. You just grab whatever crap you can find and make a game out of it.
No, we used to do the same thing with street hockey. We used to have a part of the street where there's no driveway, so we'd get our snowblowers out and snow blow all the loose snow out. And then we always had like empty or half empty spray paint cans. Would spray paint all the lines in, put our nets up and play street hockey for like 4 hours a night. It was crazy. Yeah. As soon as we got home from school, from CC, we'd get everybody together and play till like 7 o'clock. And then by the time it got dark, was it 6 o'clock maybe? 6:30 by the time it got dark in the winter.
Yeah.
Next about five. So we'll play for a couple, whatever, 2-3 hours and then go in and have dinner. But that was religious
chocolate
for us. Yeah. Yeah.
Hot chocolate. Well, and that's, you know, back in the old days when it used to actually snow.
Yeah. I remember for sure.
In the late mid 70s, I mean, there were times when there was snow that was, you know, 6 feet high.
Yeah.
I mean, there was crazy. There was a couple of crazy winters right in a row.
Yeah, there was a couple that were really, really bad. Yeah.
And I remember, you know, taking my bike and just, you know, riding up and down the hills of snow, you know, and then you get on the other side and that's where it's not packed down, you know, because they shovel and they pile the snow at the corner of the driveway. And then you go really fast and you run up the hill with your bike and then you get over the hill and then you land in the snow and you're just like, not going anywhere. Or you face plant in the snow. But, you know, you just do stupid crap and just go be silly.
Mm-hmm. Or go shagging. You guys ever go shagging?
Yeah, I was never good at it. Mm-hmm. I always lost my footing like 5 feet in, got drugged behind the UPS bus, let go. I was never good at it.
Oh, I was thinking of something completely different. And I was going to college.
Shagging, baby.
I was totally not in the same spot you were.
And really, you put your shoe in college. I know, right. Yeah, you put your tennis shoes on or your boots on and you'd stand at the corner until a car came around and then you'd grab on the bumper and then they'd pull you along through the neighborhood until you hit a nice little
dry patch.
dry patch of cement. You'd go ass over tea kettle or the person stopped and yelled at you or, you know.
Right.
Oh, so the trick was to try and do it without being seen.
Yeah.
And then you jump off. And then you jump off on a corner where everyone had piled this huge mound of snow, and you jump into the snowbank.
Right.
And hide. Yeah, I gotcha.
Now, have you guys? Did you guys roller skate when you were kids?
Yeah.
Yes, I was a religious roller skater. I thought that was the because I could go listen to good music. You know, go listen to Snazzy.
That's where your peers gathered. That's where everybody went.
Yeah.
Right, and it's where the girls were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could hold hands and roller skate around the rink.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
You know, that's big. I mean, you're 12.
You could listen to Sad Eyes or a Stick song and hold hands while you're roller skating.
Right, exactly.
Turn me away.
Journey,
I don't
want to
see you cry.
Yeah.
Lover Boy. Turn me loose. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. I have that album, by the way.
I love Lover Boy.
I got that vinyl.
Do you really?
Lucky. Yeah. That's a great album. Turn Me Loose.
No, it really was.
That's just a great song. A good bass line.
Yeah.
I had there's a festival that meets, you know, in my former hometown every summer, and it's like homecoming. Everybody flocks to it, and, you know, you meet up with a bunch of people, and one of the girls would say, hey, we're going roller skating tomorrow. You want to come? And I was like, are you serious? Like, I might pull 8 different things, but what time?
Yeah, right.
You know, oh, we'll go. I think it's 2 o'clock. There won't be anybody there. So okay, you know, I'll go over there and laugh.
Wait a minute.
Fall down and grab the wall.
How old were you at this point?
This is about 8 or 9 years ago.
Holy crap! And you went real
fast. Yeah.
I guess that's not as crazy as me still playing soccer at 50.
It's with people that you grew up with and you just laugh.
Right.
And, you know, then you roll over to the DJ booth and you'd be like, we're old. Can you play Turn Me Loose by Loverboy? You know, Super Freak or something.
Super right. Freak. Brick
James.
Yeah.
Oh, Brick. I think you said Rick.
She was a Brick. Oh, who was that?
Anyway? It was fun. I'm not going to do it every year, but it was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is just awesome.
And you're like, hey, Amy, I bought you a Coke slushy here in 1983, and then you wouldn't dance with me.
You little shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's hilarious. I got to get out of the house more often. Do some fun stuff.
Maybe we should all go roller skating.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that anymore.
50 years old roller skating?
Yeah, that's just, you know.
They might be pushing it. Even if I wasn't shit. It. Oh, you could do anything.
Do it. It's just. Well, like you, I said, could you, you know.
Could you do it as well?
Soccer at 50.
Could you shoot the duck?
No.
I don't think I could shoot the duck when I was good. I don't even know what that is.
I could turn around. I could skate backwards for a minute and then and then flip around. But I could roll around pretty good without any fear of falling.
Yeah,
and to the point where the little on the weekends they'd have like, you know, the floor police would come out and they'd be like, "You're going too fast,"
right?
Or that's too dangerous, or you know, if you're going to do that, why don't you go in the middle? I got okay. There was people that were, you know, obviously better, and they were very serious about the whole thing. They had their own skates and everything.
I remember the speed skates. Yeah. Remember the zinger wheels, the really wide wheels? It said zingers on them. Oh, the speed skates. I wanted them so bad. I had no business buying them, but I mean, I wasn't like an awesome skater, but I just thought they would look cool with my bell bottoms.
Yeah, but if you would go on a Saturday,
bell bottoms
all day, you know, if you'd go for 8 hours, like that was worth the commitment.
Oh yeah, but then I should end up with like a water blister on my foot about the size of Texas.
Yeah.
I'd have to go home and pop it and whatever.
Well, that's the other thing about roller skating is the blisters.
Yeah. There's no way around that whole thing.
You just couldn't get around those.
No. I think you'd probably have to tape up your foot or something. I don't even know.
There's actually a secret that my daughter and I learned when we were playing soccer together is you take the white, not roll-on, but the like deodorant, regular white deodorant.
Yeah.
And you rub it on your heels before you put your socks on, and then you put your shoes on, and you don't get blisters.
Really?
Yeah.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Wherever you typically will get blisters from your shoes, you rub it on there, and then you put your socks on.
Mine was always like the inside of the arch, you know,
inside my
foot. Like if you went, because we skated counterclockwise, so the blister was always on my right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were always going, I don't know if we went counterclockwise and clockwise. I think we always went counterclockwise. Around. Yeah, didn't they?
They at some point he'd change it. DJ would say, all right, everybody go the other way.
Oh, okay.
We always turned left. I always remember turning left, so whatever that is.
Yeah, me too. I always remember going left.
Sort of like, NASCAR. There's a series of left turns. What are you going to do now? I'm going to turn left. It's crazy. What was the other thing that we used to do? We've just turned our show, Eric, into sort of a reminiscing show.
That's kind of the way it ended up tonight.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that because, you know, the topics I was talking about at the beginning of this pile of mess was just, just me venting.
Yeah, I got to watch what I say. I'm getting a little too nervous about what comes out of my mouth.
Well, you haven't said anything bad.
I've been quiet about a lot of
things. You've been very good.
Yeah,
you have to remember, it's perfectly socially acceptable at this moment to bash the president. So
right.
It's not
politically correct.
Yeah, it's been politically correct for the last 20 years.
Kind of has.
I mean, every one of them has some stupid thing that they're just dumb for. And, that's just the, but the one we have now seems to basically have all of the dumb things together.
But if he just kept his mouth shut, I don't think he really, aside from what comes out of his mouth, I'm not getting started.
He doesn't know how to.
No, I know. Here's I feel like I'm sticking up for him. I probably
here's
shouldn't
the
be.
Thing I've done is I just don't listen.
Yeah,
I watched one of his more recent when he restarted doing the COVID talks or whatever he was doing, his little press things. I watch one for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I can't put up with this kind of stupid.
That's 20 minutes too long.
Yeah, exactly. It was 20 minutes too much of just ridiculous stupid. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm done with you. And honestly, as much as I'm not a huge fan of Biden, he would win me over if he said what I said he should say at his acceptance speech. The American people have spoken. Mr. Trump, you're fired. Take his own show and shove it in his goddamn face.
Yeah.
What are you listening to?
What, somebody cutting their lawn?
He's not even. That's my pool pump.
Oh, are you in the pool?
No, I'm outside though.
Oh, okay.
I brought my low standards, so I'm having my pores.
Good for you.
I don't even think Biden's going to be the candidate, to tell you the truth.
Who else would it be?
That will be the October surprise.
I mean, you think it's going to be that late in the game?
I don't know. It's going to be that. That's just really my thing.
Yeah.
Let's be on. Let's all step back from politics for a moment and analyze or assess this man that is running for president of the United States, named Joe Biden. I don't care if you love him or you hate him or you're somewhere in between. You cannot sit there and take Trump out of the whole equation for a minute. You can't just. There's no way this guy is anywhere cognitively capable of doing this job. It's impossible.
He is the Democratic equivalent of the 2008 Republican nominee. What's his name? Who passed away?
McCain.
McCain. He is essentially the Democratic McCain.
The man has dementia or something like it. And he's got Joe Biden mouth, which he's had for 40 years. He can't stop saying things.
He's got more baggage than a lot of people.
There's something wrong with him. He should be out there saying stuff, and he does. Everything's a couple minute clips. It's really short, guy. You have to step back and look at all this. But if he's 5 minutes with and he called the guy today, asked him if he's a coke addict. What are you going to do with world leaders? What are you going to do with China? I mean, it's just he's not there. I'm telling you, they're running his name, and they're going to sub him out.
That's what I keep hearing too.
And I'm not.
They're just trying to figure out who.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's not true. I'm just, you can't, but even if you just look at Biden on his own, you still, because it's an election, you can't take Trump out of the question.
No, but I mean, assess that candidate. I don't mean compare him, because Trump says stupid shit. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, right.
But I mean, let's not compare him to Trump in that. But just to focus on him for a moment, this guy is not cognizant, aware. He does not have the wherewithal to lead in that capacity. You need a person Hillary was more capable, but she's just a moron. Trump is vastly more cognitive than Biden.
Well, because he passed that test. The thing with Biden, though, is he's actually playing it smart by only doing short 5 little minute things and not giving himself the opportunity to go off the rails and say something stupid the way our sitting monkey does and starts talking and then stops reading and just goes off, stream of consciousness and starts spewing out bullshit.
But in the short clips, he does. And these are word salads. Like, half the shit doesn't make sense.
Well, but you know, isn't that what politics is anyway? A series.
No, but I'm just saying.
I'm with you. I get it.
Take a look at the next, you know, and just sit back as an outside observer, shut everything else down, and just look at the guy and be like, is this? And don't compare him to Trump. Just look at him and assess and say, is this the guy for that job? And I'm not talking about his policies. Just listen to him speak.
Right.
It's not there.
And I'm not saying you're wrong.
And I think they're going to, no, it's just my opinion. I think they're going to sub him out.
Well, you know, if he picks a decent running mate, I don't think I'd have a problem with that.
He's already said whoever he picks is going to have to be ready to go day one because he might die. He said that like 3 months ago.
Yeah, but, you know, he's living in reality. He's an old fart. He might die. You know?
It goes back to your hot turd thing or crusty turd thing. Is this the best this major political U.S. party can do?
Yeah.
Is this the best?
It's pretty right. pathetic.
No, it isn't.
And it's been that way for a long time with both parties. That's why I think we should have like five parties, but I don't want to get into that topic. But that would be fun. But there's no way that this guy is intellectually and mentally capable to withstand the pressures of the job. Look at every president we've had has gone gray within a couple of years.
Right. Look at Obama now.
The stress is overwhelming.
4 years of the job ages you 16. Eight years of the job ages you like beyond more.
There's no way. This can't be the guy. There's no possible way this is the guy.
Well, I don't know. I've always been the let's wait and see what really is going to happen. And let's figure it out as it comes. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying too. But that's just my sort of prognostication about the whole thing is. I don't know how you could responsibly do that. Run somebody with some of those impairments for that job. It's irresponsible.
I think if Trump gets back in,
you're asking the political party to be responsible, and I think that's asking a lot.
Well, it is because that's the way it is. It's a joke, but should we, the American people, have to give that up?
But the other thing to think about, no, you're right, we shouldn't. But the other thing to think about is
we should demand better.
If let's just say Biden wins. Okay, you're going to understand, I'm of the understanding that he would be the adult in the room, even if he doesn't, you know, push for stuff or whatever, you know, I look at it like if a president is quiet, calm, cool, and collected, what really does he mess up? What really does he affect? You know, they'll try and set some policy in pushing things in a certain direction. But Congress
like a Putin type?
Well, no, Obama, Congress, let's face it. No. Obama was Congress, cool and collected.
Right. He was calm, cool, and collected. And
Biden's a hothead.
He wanted to push. Right. But he's also understands when to shut the hell up. From what I've seen and what little I've seen. And the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm comparing him to the monkey in chief.
Right, which I was trying to tell you not to do.
Well, I know, but it's almost impossible to not compare him to the monkey in chief because those are our only two choices right now.
Assess the person, you know, and look at him and listen, it's just like, and I'm not making a case for Trump. I'm just saying. The party, the burden is on the party to, they need to do better.
Yeah, they got to come up with something for real. But
there's got to be a better candidate.
What I'm trying to get at is if the president sits back and is less obnoxious. What does he really do? Because Congress runs everything. Congress and the Senate, they take care of all the basic bullshit. The president has input on certain things and does stuff. What really does the president do that makes that much of a difference? And I'm asking the question without knowing the answer. I would make a horrible lawyer, and I don't care. But it's you know, if, you know, I look at, I remember President Gerald Ford, who basically took over after Nixon backed out. And Ford went and played golf all the time, and everybody gave him a hard time. And he didn't do shit. The country coasted. You know, because the Congress took care of shit, Senate took care of shit, judicial did their stuff, and the president really, you know, it's one guy.
Yeah.
We're giving one guy too much credit to do too much shit. Put a monkey in there who's going to shut up and do his job and take care of a couple of little things.
Yeah.
And his wife's gonna work some kind of project and do something.
Yeah.
And whatever.
We're beyond that. We're way beyond that.
I know
that it used to be the way
changed.
Things did. Yeah.
I know stuff has changed, but I'm just looking at it like, really?
Do we have to
give this guy that much credit?
Ford was probably the nicest person to be in office. I think Reagan was a nice, congenial person. They called him the great communicator. But I mean,
right.
Ford would probably be the first to tell you that it was like, hey, dude, you're up. And he's like, what? Shit. Like,
holy
right now? They're like, yeah, right now. And you're like, oh crap. And
damn it, I'm not ready.
And
I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, it was like, in a sense, it was like kind of like Truman, you know?
Yeah.
Who they ridiculed for being, he was a country bumpkin. And
he was a country bumpkin.
And then retired from public life. After he was done, and then basically died as an insignificant person, he had no money or anything.
Yeah, he was essentially penniless.
But the service called, and he did his deal. But that's, I think we're beyond those folks are gone. Everyone now is too power hungry.
And I think those days are gone too. I think the American people.
It's so media driven these days, though.
Well, and it's all sound bites, and then you get into, like, I did this about a month ago. We talked to, everything's driven by like executive orders,
and the
great man syndrome, or whoever's in the White House. You know, eventually
right.
It'll be a woman, but it's just like we all look for like one person to save us, and that's not how our republic. Don't call it a democracy. That's not how our constitutional
right.
republic. Should be functioning, but I think people really forget the vast powers that are afforded the president. You know, people say, oh, you can't do that, you know, with Obama, you can't do that, Trump, you can't do that. They can. It's right in there. And that's why for 40 years, people didn't, for a good period of time, that person in the White House didn't do some of those things. You know, because it was Congress or Senate driven or whatever, you know.
Right. And they were there to serve. They were there to do their service. And it seems now it's like I'm here to do my service for myself. But
well, there's all these agendas. There's all these huge agendas.
Yeah. You know, you've given $8 billion to my campaign. So what's your pet project? You know, those kinds of shit. Whatever. But what I was going to ask you, Willie, like I asked Eric, at the beginning, that started all this bullshit, I think maybe before you came on,
was it my fault?
You know, the whole thing was, it's all right, with Trump saying that he was going to float the idea out there to delay the election.
The election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just
caught in on that and basically said that, you know, it's him just floating it out there to you know, cheese everybody off, which could be exactly what he's doing. But I think he thinks he can do it.
No, it's. I think you're finding a trend where he's actually does play by the rules. If you step back and look at it, no matter how much people hate him, he's not going to do that. He said that for a reason. And And I do, you guys know, I do a tremendous amount of reading on all this.
Right.
It was actually floated by the Democrats first to maybe have delay it or whatnot. So he said it, and then everybody lost their mind and they're like, nope, it's November 3rd. So it accomplished what he wanted to accomplish.
Well, I'm just concerned with what's going to happen. And this is part of my notes from tonight's show is election night is going to be a fucking field day.
Oh, it'll be a mess.
You know, at the end of election night, there's not going to be a defined winner. And you know, correct, that this sumbitch is going to take this whole thing to court a la 2000 and claim that.
I think both parties will.
Let me ask you guys something. Aren't you guys a little bit worried about if Trump gets back in office for another 4 years, how people are going to react to it?
How people react to it, yes.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous. Like, people are going to go off the handle, you know? Like, go a little nuts. There's a lot of people that want him out, you know?
It's possible. You know, I don't know if it's going to come down to the IRS. People just saying, fuck him, I'm not paying taxes. And the IRS is going to have to enforce stuff. I just don't know. These are crazy times, man. These are just crazy times. If he's not the clear winner on election night, he's going to be bitching like a little child. That's a prediction that I'm going to hang my hat on.
Well, let me tell you something that's already happened in one state, and it'll probably become contagious. The state of Wisconsin has already ordered that the National Guard will tally the election in that state.
Really?
Yes.
Well, what were this? It was Pennsylvania, Florida, Michigan, and one other state that Trump had to win to beat Hillary. Wasn't there one other one? Was there four of them?
No, it was probably Ohio.
Was it Ohio?
Yeah.
Michigan, Ohio, Florida, and Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And he got all of them? So, I don't know. Michigan will probably go back to Democrat, don't you think? I can't imagine. For some reason, I can't imagine Michigan going Republican again.
You have to look at it's exceptionally unpopular publicly to state your support for the president. So therefore, there is what he keeps screaming about on Twitter is the silent majority. And yeah, I think there's a lot of, if you look at like the protests and people are being
small percentage,
and all these are chunks of city being burned and whatnot, and there's just complete lawlessness. There are many people who are not down with that.
Yeah,
it's just not, and they're going to vote against that. If that means they're casting it for Trump, then that's the way they're going to go.
Yep.
Now there are plenty of people that are, dislike what he's doing and can't stand him and are going to vote that way. Of course. Well, you're just finding a larger divide every election year with, can you take the politics out of it for a second? Are you thrilled that Seattle is doing this and Portland's doing this, and I'm like, you have the right to protest, but
what point is this or
Minneapolis, like taking over precincts and trying to set federal courthouses on fire, is that, at what point is this beyond protesting and is it lawlessness?
Right.
Because I can't imagine if you lived a block from the courthouse, would you be I feel you guys, you have the right to protest, but now you're setting shit on fire and it's affecting me and like, I don't like it. And, people in some of these areas were cut off from services for a while. And then what happens if somebody breaks into your home? Minneapolis issued a thing, what you should do. You should keep your things in a bag, all your money and whatnot. So if somebody, you know, somebody robs you out on the street, that you just hand it over to them. That's their, there was literally a news bulletin out of Minneapolis from the police department on what you should do. Do you, how many people are going to be down with that?
Yeah. Could be scary.
A lot of crazy shit.
I don't want to live like that.
Well,
the police department just told me to that when I get robbed, that I just put every, I just hand everything over.
No way, Jose.
Because they're telling you that they can't. They're telling you they can't protect you.
Right, and that's
like that
right,
to me. That's not America. I mean, we've got our warts and we've got our scars. We should learn how to embrace them, so we can get better
figure
at it.
Yeah. If we don't learn from our history, where are we going to go?
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, it's easy.
You got to know your history to learn from it.
Right. But to burn entire city blocks down and do all this other stuff that Antifa's doing, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it makes I'm no not sense. A fan of Antifa at all. You know,
no, again, screaming and yelling at people and...
Well, and then, you know, then you got your other side of it where, you know, the psycho Karens not wearing a mask when they go to buy stuff. You know, you get into the whole Karen situation. I'm like, are you that selfish that you can't just do the right thing?
Yeah, is it that big of a deal to wear a mask?
Now, well, see, and then I know Bill brought up this earlier about the person with the pulled button, whatever, and the... But I have one living in my house that's staying with us that cannot wear one because of her medical condition.
Mm.
Well, right.
And nobody's really given her a hard time. I think she had somebody said something to her last week, and they wanted documentation, and it's like, why? Like, there are laws. It's a HIPAA.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to ask me what's wrong with me. And I don't have to produce a doctor's note. Target makes makes an exception for people from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. to go do their shopping at that time period.
Right, and that's the thing. And there's certain retailers out there who are like cognizant of this and paying attention.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is, and I'm not telling anybody how to live their life, but if you know this is a kid in your family, then to go shopping is not necessarily a priority when other people in the family can go shopping and wear a mask.
True.
Oh, yeah. This is not a child. My in-law is here.
Okay. Well, and again, I'm just saying if there are other people who can handle this, then they should be the ones handling it and avoid the issue altogether. And again, not everybody out there has that ability and, you know, God bless them for being able to take care of themselves and what have you. But, you know, at a certain point, you know, I was at the store today and there was a guy walking around in the store without a mask on. And I didn't say anything because it's not my place. And I don't know what his medical condition is or whatever. He didn't look like he was sick. But, you know, I had my mask on and I just, all right, well, I see him. He's one of the 150 people in the store, in this great big store, and I'm just not going to go near that guy.
Right.
Because I have my mask on. I'm going to stay away from that sumbitch. And that's just how, you know,
it's tough because some people have cancer or something and they can't,
some type
of respiratory issue.
There's all sorts of stuff.
Sure.
But again, if you have those issues, maybe you shouldn't be out at the store. And I'm not telling you how to live your life.
Plenty of delivery services.
Yeah, if you got to go get something, go get something. But, you know, I don't know, buy a T-shirt that says, I have a medical condition.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Well, and it's getting dangerous to approach people because people are fighting each other.
And again, I am not that confrontational type person, and I don't think other people should be. But
you just give them a wide berth and you go around them.
Right. And that's exactly what it comes down to, is you give them the wide berth, you get around it. But the key here is there's a zillion of us humans floating around on this planet. And there's some of us that are not going to be immune and are not going to be able to follow the rules because of whatever their situation is. And, you know, those are the ones that we need to take care of and maybe keep them out of the public for a while because they're susceptible to catching stuff, you know, and there's a way to do it. But again, I'm not telling anybody they can't go to the store. You know, if one out of 150 in a store doesn't wear a mask, the rest of us have them on, we're protecting ourselves from that person. And maybe that person is going to be fine and maybe they're not. But, you know, it's their option to run and fetch toilet paper or not, you know?
Well, it's been tough to lock yourself up for 4 or 5 months.
Right. And it has been 4 months at least.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, I went in for training and I've had to wear it, you know, for the first time all day. And I did not feel good the first day. I came home and I did a breathing treatment. I did not feel good. I was congested.
Got allergies, right?
Yeah. And I was just like, I was breathing my own goop. You know, so I did all my stuff and I went to bed and the next day I was fine. And, you know, you got to take your temperature reading before you go in. And I'm not even close to 100, not even close. Right. But it's just, I know it's publicly the right thing to do, but it's not,
I was just going to say, we're going to have a serious, crazy Christmas this year. It's going to be interesting to see how things get handled.
Oh, don't you think it's all going to go in November 4th?
Oh, like COVID's going to go away November 4th?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we're voting it out, right? We're going to vote it out.
Boys and girls, I gotta cut this podcast short.
Yeah,
I gotta get to work. Yeah, I got some stuff I gotta do.
Oh, okay.
Bill, why don't you come up with something creative for Sunday, or I will, and we'll continue on. Maybe we'll continue on the same subject or something as interesting.
Maybe we'll pick up where we left off. I'll give this thing a listen and see if we sound even remotely intelligent.
Or just chewing the fat. I've just given I like to do
maybe you pick the subject.
Well, just so you guys know, I usually pick a side. If Bill picks a side, I have a tendency to pick the other side just for conversation.
Right.
No, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be a prick. Well, no, but that's what we don't want to be in an echo chamber, right?
Sure.
I'm with you. I've not had any problems with any of our discussions so far.
They're discussions. That's why you can't. If we just made it one sided all the time, it would be like, well, that's
not so fun. Right.
And you know, Eric's always been the contrarian anyway, because he's just.
That's just the way I am.
Yeah, but regardless, I mean, that's you're right, Willie. That's part of what we want to do, is we want to have a discussion where we actually walk away going, all right, well, maybe I have to think a little more about this topic, or maybe I don't know everything yet. And you know,
right, yeah,
that's because that's how we're doing, is we're just
there's a ton of in, each other there's and, a ton of info out there, and Eric has said it several times over the course of a few weeks. You know, the TV is certainly not the answer. I mean, we're not getting good quality information.
He's not prepared for that. No.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw my little disclaimer in there.
That's not where I get my information. And that's fine.
No, I wasn't saying you. I was just us as a general public.
Yeah, you were. Right.
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sunday, 9 o'clock. We'll be back on Low Standards and Pours. What day is that? August, whatever, 9th.
Yeah, it's August something.
I think.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Eric, tell us, where can people find?
Oh, we can be found on
Low Standards and Pours.
iHeartRadio, iTunes, yeah. YouTube.
Yeah.
TuneIn, Podbean, and which one am I forgetting? There's one Google. We're trying to get onto Google. There are about six different outlets, Podbean or podcast outlets now that we can be be listened to. If that makes any sense.
I was just so happy that we got onto iHeartRadio.
Yeah, iHeartRadio. Oh, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, listen in or tune in. Deezer. Whatever other ones I forgot. But yeah, there's like six or seven that we're on right now. So listen in. Yeah. Get more butts on the bean.
Get more butts on the bean.
Wish me a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Willie, you're finally old again.
Yeah.
Was it today?
No, it's in a couple. It's 2 days.
Isn't West the same day?
He's I think he's next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that happens too.
He gets mad when I wish him a happy birthday.
Welcome. You're older.
Yes. All right, boys. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, talk to you guys on Sunday.
All right.
Night, Willie.
All right. Feliz Navidad.
You got
Hey.
What?
Hey, Beaners. That's been Eric.
And that's been Bill.
This is the
part. Sayonara for now. Chow Ming.
Yeah, just hang up the goddamn thing.
All right. Where the hell's Bill? Get lost. See you later.
Yeah, this has been Where the Hell's Bill on Low Standards and Pours.
Our lovely host. The most.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Share us. Like us.
Hang
All right.
Up.
I'll see you later. All right.
Just
talk to you tomorrow.
We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Yeah,
see
whatever.
Ya.
Hang up.
All right. Bye. Adios.
Yeah, just hang it up.
I'm hanging up.
Go ahead. I dare you.